This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. We've got a great show for you tonight. Looking at a career can be counterintuitive, especially for those with ADHD. And with us in our virtual studio is Will Mafelman. Real quickly, tonight is June the 11th in the year 2014 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The show was pre-taped in advance of tonight just because of some scheduling issues and my desire to kind of get this show in this summer, because I think it's a real important topic, and Wilma is a spectacular interview and one of my favorites. Before we get into the meat of the show, a few things. The annual CHAD conference is slated for November this year in Chicago, Illinois. It's not too late to start putting that on your calendar, looking for hotels, registering, and making travel arrangements. I know that I'm going to be there. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. Also, the Attention Deficit Disorder Association conference is right around the corner, a little bit more than a month away. It's in Orlando, Florida. You can get information on that by going to add.org. That's for the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, and I know I'm going to be there at that, and I'm actually looking forward to presenting at that as well. A reminder, there's a new website out there called ADHDfund.com, and the website is all about raising money to do research in the area of ADHD, and it's most research, or much research, is done by some type of funding agency or organization that typically has something that they're looking at. There's lots of really good things that need to be researched on, and if nobody's really identified that, then there's not really funds available for that. And so this website's about crowdsourcing and fundraising so that some of the leading brains in the area of ADHD can actually go research things that I think that are not directed from some other interest. So I think that's it for our announcement for tonight. Again, we have Wilma Felman in our virtual studio. She's been a licensed professional counselor for over 28 years. She specializes in adolescent and adults with ADD, LD, and other challenges with respect to career-related issues. Wilma is the author of two books, one of them, The Other Me, Poetic Thoughts for Poetic Thoughts on ADD for Adults, Kids, and Parents. And we did a show a couple years ago with some excerpts back. Wilma actually reading some of the poetry with some music in the background. I encourage you to go search that. Just go Attention Talk Radio and search for that along with poems. She also has written Finding a Career That Works for You. She's a contributing author of Women's Understanding Women's with ADHD, and the past president of MCDA, which is the Michigan Career Development Association, a state division of the National Career Development Association. Wilma has actually served on the board of Attention Deficit Disorder Association for 8 years and now teaches and lectures throughout the United States, and that's actually how I met her. It was at the ACO conference many years ago, and she approached me, and I explained to her that I had very strong opinions about career counselors. Some of them good, some of them a little strong, but she said, I can take it, and man, she passed the mustard. So with all that, Wilma, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Good.
I'm pretty excited about this tonight. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I have to think back to our first meeting, and when you said that you had some preconceived notions of what career counselors were all about, my, the hairs on the back of my neck went up, and I held on, and when I heard why you had those issues, we ended up agreeing with each other, which was a big surprise for both of us.
It was a real surprise. So in my mind, you're the only career counselor out there just based on philosophies. And we've done some shows in the past on this area, and I would encourage people, again, if you just go to Google and type in Attention Talk Radio and Wilma Feldman, all that stuff will kind of come up. But, you know, Wilma, tonight, the show tonight is, I think that this show is about paying attention to attention. I think when people begin to think about careers and jobs, they start to think about outcomes like, I want to go pick the right career, or I want to go pick the right job. And from my experience, I found with ADD, sometimes it's counterintuitive. It's sometimes best to maybe think about what you shouldn't do and eliminate all that. First, it kind of shrinks the field down a little bit to more of a smaller size to pick maybe what's left over. And we're gonna dig into this a little bit deeper, but in the beginning, can you just share your thoughts on that concept?
Well, when you first said that concept, I thought, well, that's kind of counterintuitive to my way of counseling, because it's essentially starting with what's wrong instead of starting with what's right. But the more I thought about it, I think what you're really talking about is, again, right on, and that is that oftentimes individuals with ADD understand better what they can't do and what they should stay away from than they do understand what their strengths are and what their gifts are. So it is sometimes easier for them to outline for a career counselor or a coach what things they think they should stay away from. For example, if they are a person that's easily distracted, then they probably should stay away from the kinds of jobs where they'll be in a little cubicle with 25 other people in a close proximity and you're hearing everybody else's conversation. Or if they are an impulsive person, they may want to stay away from the kinds of jobs where long-term planning is required or strategic long-term planning. But in the final analysis, sometimes what a person knows they should stay away from can be overcome if they have enough passion and strength on the strength side of the column. So, for example, if I meet a client who is quick to tell me what they should stay away from, I will find that very important information, and it's vital information, actually. And by the way, there is a workplace genre, that is available. It's in my book. It's available if people contact me. It's available in a lot of places if you Google ADD workplace questionnaire. But it helps an individual isolate and identify what those things are that are the gotchas on the job. So those things are very, very important. My only requirement for using all of that material in deciding what job to do is that it not be the first thing that you do, that the first thing you want to do is to make note of all the strengths, the things that go very right. That's the process of career development, taking a look at what a person's interests are. Interests can sometimes overcome one of counterintuitive gotchas, and mm-hmm. it may or may not be able to, but it can. And I have dozens of examples of people whose limitations were such that once they got intensely interested in something, that limitation sort of fell by the wayside, or fell by the wayside to a large extent anyway. So interests are sort of equivalent to what your passions are, what lights you up, and we need to start with that along with what are your gifts, your skills, your accomplishments, the things that you do better than the average bear.
And I think that that in this, the way you're describing it, just to kind of, I'm struggling a little bit with context here, is that what you're advocating is career counseling begins with kind of understanding what you can do, like what your strengths are and then what your weaknesses are, the environments that you thrive in and the environments that maybe that you struggle in, because you do need to outline that stuff to have an idea of what, a sense of who you are, so just not guesswork.
Exactly.
That's step one. Is that right?
Exactly. It's gathering all the pieces of your particular puzzle. And we start with, there's probably 10 pieces to your puzzle. So just looking at what you're interested in isn't enough. You have to look at your skills. You have to look at your personality. You have to look at your value system, your aptitude, what early dreams you might have had and why they might be important to that intuitive process.
Mm-hmm.
What your energy pattern is, if you're a sprinter type person with your focus, or are you kind of as good every day as you were the day before?
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of work patterns and work habits do you have? And then what are your challenges? And so, yes, we take in all of those limitations, and the things we should stay away from are very important to consider in the whole process.
Yep.
My only requirement is that it be not be the very first thing that you talk about, so
yep.
that you don't eliminate some things that might be okay if everything else is okay.
So what I'm hearing you say, is, and I didn't really think about this, but it's kind of good, because when you're taking a look at somebody, you break them down, it's strengths, your skills, your values, your personality, your aptitude, your passion, your energy level. I always like the energy level one. Your work habits and patterns. So those are like categories and stuff to break down to take a look at and evaluating kind of the basic components of yourself. Is that accurate?
Exactly.
And we
lay one layer on top of another so that it's not only looking at all of those separately, but how do they interact with each other?
I got to make a note of that. You can lay on top of each other.
Yes.
Got it. No, go ahead and finish.
I see it almost like a transparency where you lay the interest down as kind of the foundation, and then over that you lay the skills and see where there's overlap. And then
mm-hmm.
over that, you lay personality and
mm-hmm.
values and aptitudes and so forth. And when you're done with that big pile of data, it is not just a big pile of data, which is what you and I both had as our bias about many career counselors,
mm-hmm.
that they're good at collecting the data, but then what do you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're laying one layer on top of the other and they are correlating with each other in certain places, when you're all done with that and then you lay on top of all of it the layer of challenges and you still find things that correlate with the whole puzzle, then you've really got something. You've got that picking career.
Got it. And, Loma, I need to run to a break real quick, but I think it's a great setup because I think I'm going to be able to more articulate kind of what the title of the show is all about. But before we go to break, for those that want to contact you or kind of learn more, or get your books, what's the best way to access you as a resource and your books?
Well, at this point, I am doing training for coaches. So
mm-hmm.
I don't have a website. My email address is WRZ, as in zebra, F, as in Frank, at AOL.com.
Okay. So, again, everybody, that's WRZF at AOL.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today. The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Wilma Feldman. We're talking about looking at a career can be counterintuitive. And before the break, Wilma, you did a great job of identifying like different types of things to break down to take a look at. Again, we talked about strengths and skills and values and aptitude and passion and energy level. And then you start, it's like a transition, you start laying them on top of each other. And what I think effectively you're doing is you're getting a much more crystallized picture of who you are and where you might work. And I think where I was kind of coming from on the show a little bit is when you start to narrow that down a little bit, it can get, sometimes I find coaching people a little confining. It's like, oh my God, I'm never going to find anything that's got all these characteristics. And there's sometimes like a little bit of panic. And as I like to describe, I said, you know, the good news about this is we now have a litmus test. So you can go out and you can take a look at jobs and you can say, does it fit this criteria? And at first you're finding, well, no, that doesn't work, that doesn't work, that doesn't work. But as you do that over a period of time, you'll begin to stumble into things that work, actually sometimes unexpected things to look because you've got such a good criteria. So I think where I'm coming from is if you've got this specificity and you're going looking, it's almost overwhelming, everything that's out there, like how do I find it? But what's counterintuitive to me is you can apply that test to those things, and at first you're like, that won't work, that won't work, that won't work, that won't work. But if you do that long enough, you're actually, oh my God, this works, and that works, and that works. And like I said, you stumble in some things that are unexpected. Now, that's just my experience, Wilma. Your thoughts on what I just said?
I think I totally agree with you. I think that the mature adult obviously knows more about him or herself than the young adult does. And that's only because we've had more life experience and we've tried more things and some of them have worked and some haven't. So as we get older, the good news is that we know ourselves better. What we try to do in career development service providing is take young adults and get them to figure out what they're all about earlier so that they haven't had to go through the negative trial and error that does result in exactly what you said, which is that panic mode of, oh, my God, I don't think there's anything out there that's really going to match with me. And so the more we know about ourselves, as early as possible. And, of course, we keep evolving, so we keep changing, but certain things remain kind of the same. This process has to be done many times. And if we lose the job as a mature adult and we're back to the drawing board, and a lot of folks out there are in that position, they might have lost a job, either they were fired, they were laid off, they quit, they were asked to quit, or downsized, or their job closed, and they have to start the process all over again. It is great for them to know what doesn't work for them and what works for them. So they can really gravitate towards those things that have a good chance of working without getting attacked in the self-esteem department.
I like what you just said, I think was key, that have a good chance.
It's not a guarantee. However, you raise your chances of success by knowing more about yourself. And you'll never make a worse decision with more information. I think that's true across the board. But with career decisions, the more we know about all the facets of our life and how they interplay with each other, the better our choices are going to be about not only which job to take, but which environment within a job might work better for us. I might be good at something in one environment and really bad at that exact job in another environment.
I just love what you just said. For our listeners out there, Totally ADD has actually got a video out on, I forget the exact title, but it's ADHD Careers or something like that, and they interview a whole bunch of experts on a particular topic, of which Wilma was one of the big ones in there. And it was kind of funny because I was part of it, talking about it's really kind of all about environment. And I really think that that's one of the things, just on the sidebar here, Wilma, is that it's a really big deal. And if we can, I'd just like to digress and kind of illustrate a little bit of what that looks like and what some of these strengths are so people can kind of meet to the bones. And one of the things that you've talked about before is, particularly in the analysis, is being a lawyer. You know the part I'm talking about? Can we talk about that for a second? I got a couple I like to sprinkle in so people can get an idea what this looks like.
Absolutely. I do use lawyers a lot because I've seen a lot of them in practice over the 30 years that I've been doing this. You could be a wonderful lawyer in one environment and a horrible lawyer in another. I had a client who was a criminal lawyer. He hated everything about his job. He had been in practice for 5 years, had never closed a case. He told me that criminal law often requires you to have a case going, open and going, for years and years and years before it even comes to trial. And then once it comes to trial, it can be postponed. So he felt he was drowning in data that was going to be used down the road somewhere. And he hated his job. He hated his clients. It didn't line up with his value system. He didn't have that innate, I want everybody deserves a fair trial kind of value, which is a problem in criminal law. And he found out through the course of our working together that his focus pattern was more of that of a sprinter, meaning that he could hang together intensely for short periods of time and get a project done beautifully, better than other people. But if it was something that was going to go on and on and on for months and years, he was going to lose that intense interest and focus. And he, when he came in, had said that he wanted to get out of law and into something else, something that would match him better. The end result was that he got out of criminal law and into real estate law, which allowed him a relatively short-term duration to focus, gather all of his data, intensely work with a client, and within 30 days it was over, and he loved it.
That's a great story, because you can talk about, so often everybody talks about laws, like the title, but it's the characteristics of the job and kind of what you're doing, which to me kind of drives the cart here, and I really like that particular story. You know, Wilma, I've also heard you talk about law, is that if you just look at law in general, it's a very much a data-driven job.
Yes.
Just speak to that for a second.
It's not what we see on TV. We have an abundance of medical shows, legal shows, and police shows. And all of them show little snippets of what it's like to work in those careers. So over the years, I've worked with an awful lot of, well, all three of them, but let's talk about attorneys for a second. Attorneys who thought they understood what law was all about. They thought that because they were good with people and they are good orators, they could get up in front of a group of people and speak well, that they would make a great attorney. Once they actually got into it, they realized that law is a predominantly data job, and had he read about what the essential tasks of the job of law are, and specifically the kind of law that he wanted to go into, that attorney would not have chosen that field or not have chosen that particular part of law. And it's so easy to get that information. I want to give a resource to the listeners. There is something called the Dictionary of Occupational Titles, the DOT, and it's on several websites, but the easiest one to remember is www.occupationalinfo.org. And if someone goes to that, it's also called an O-net, too, in some parts of the world. You can Google that. It takes a job like law and breaks it into the essential tasks of the job into small little pieces and tells the reader within a paragraph what that job is really all about. How much of it is data, how much is people, how much is mechanical, what a typical day would be like, what the essential tasks of the job are. If you read that and that doesn't sound like you when you're done reading that paragraph, then you're going to want to consider, first of all, why doesn't that sound like you? Where does it break down for you? And can that breakdown place be accommodated, or are you going to be so accommodated that you're trying to mash the square peg into the round hole?
I'm just having like a little bit of an aha. You go to this, you look this reference up, you take a look at a job, it has the essential tasks of a job, and it seems like you take a look at it and you overlay what you learn from the strengths, skills, values, personality, aptitude, passions, and stuff like that, and you see if it fits.
Perfect.
If it's, you're on to something, and if it doesn't fit, then you kind of go, wait a second. And again, one is you can go, hey, I want to go do this, and you look for what you're looking for. But, you know, Wilma, I think that one of the things that I'm thinking out loud on the show is that if you have your list and you go look up law and you look up this and you look up this and you're just not fitting, it's interesting because you're finding out what really doesn't work, but the good news is you're finding out it doesn't work. But the idea is you find the essential task list and the analysis that you do of yourself when they fit and they really kind of come together. There's no guarantee, but that's when I think you've got a high probability of casting yourself in something that will be easier for you.
Exactly. And you would want to find out if you took, if you went through this structured career development process and all the layers, let's say, pointed to law, all of them, but when you read about it in the Dictionary of Occupational Titles, it didn't sound like something that you could do, I would be real surprised. I could understand if it came up on one or two of the layers, But if it came up on all of the layers, which is where I become intensely interested in a good match, then I would want to know, why doesn't this sound like you? And let's isolate that and let's talk about that and find out why. And is it an easy fix to make it sound like you? Or are there some environments in which it would be the best match for you, but some other environments that would be the kiss of death for you? And so stay away from those in that, like you said, counterintuitive process, and move towards the things that sound like you.
Absolutely. Wilma, we need to go to a break real quick. When we come back, I want to talk about the most difficult path, which is kind of interesting. We'll delve in a second. But, again, for our listeners, if you'd like to learn more, contact Wilma. Her email is wrzf@aol.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at AttentionTalkNetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this fun discussion we're having with Wilma Feldman on careers. And Wilma, as I began to kind of back up and listen to somebody listening to our conversation, doing a strength test and passions and energy and going looking up this dictionary of occupational titles and stuff. Quite honestly, Wilma, that sounds like a lot of work.
It is, but it is, first of all, it's all about you. So it is fun in the sense that you are discovering with each looking into each facet of yourself, you're discovering more and more about yourself, whether that be for your job or your personal life. So it is a process. It doesn't go on forever. It takes probably, if you're working with a service provider, 6 to 8, maybe 10 sessions at the most. And so you're talking about within 10 weeks, someone can have a handle on exactly what would work for them and what things to stay away from. And I think it's time and money well spent rather than the trial and error method, which is so hard on one's self-esteem.
Let's talk about what the trial and error method looks like. Because I don't think really people think about this very much. And Wilma, I'm going to describe what I think it is, and then you can either correct me or whatever. But I think that trial and error method is you see something and you hear about something and you dream and you imagine yourself in that position for whatever reason you're attracted to it. So you're drawn to it, and then you go out there and you get that job, and it doesn't work. And you get frustrated. And whatever, so you get through that process, and so then you jump on to maybe the same thing, thinking a different, you know, different employer, like the old employers all got it wrong, I was right, and you might do that. You might do that 2 or 3 times, and then you might think, well, this isn't working, so something else that you kind of impulsively jump at, because remember, you really haven't done the research here on yourself, and you haven't looked at the occupational titles, and all of a sudden, you're like midlife, and you've had 6, 7, 8 jobs, and you're really kind of frustrated, and you don't really have a career. And when I start to think about that, I compare that to if you had the right career in the first place, and the trial and error method starts to sound kind of expensive to me in the long run. in terms of costs, lost opportunity, and time. Now, that's what I'm
wow.
making trial errors. Your thoughts?
Exactly. I wouldn't change a hair on that head.
Go ahead.
And I think that while it seems like a straighter road to get where you think you want to go, going from idea to action is oftentimes, and now it can work maybe, I don't know what percentage of time. We all know people who had an idea in college, went for it, it worked, they loved it, they did it, it was great. But the majority of people, forgetting ADD, the majority of people out there have misconceptions about what jobs are really all about. And because of that, when they're going from idea to action, they're taking a huge leap off of a high cliff, and it's pretty far down if you fall.
I love the cliff. It is very far down. And, you know, one of the things that I often will say when I'm coaching somebody is, what's it costing you not to do this? What's it
yes.
costing
and,
you not
yes.
to put 10 weeks into the research and kind of putting this stuff? Because don't get me wrong, as I said, well, it sounds heavy. It sounds like a lot of work. It might even sound overwhelming to some people, but it's easy just to kind of jump off and do something. But if we pause for a second and kind of go on, what could it cost you long term not to put the energy and the effort into now to try to get this thing right? And just that question alone, my hope will give people pause to think about it.
Well, and it's true. There is a number of ways to go about this process. One of them is to work privately with a coach or a counselor. Those are wonderful, wonderful ways where you get individualized attention. You work very quickly. The fees will be all over the board. You have to talk to people about what they charge per session to get that accomplished. But I also want to mention that there are some lower cost ways to go through this process. And going to your local community college, not to the counseling center, but to the career center, there will often be either career counselors or paraprofessionals that work with people on taking all of these assessments and then synthesizing them. So it can be done either for free or a sliding scale if you go to some of the more public universities, community colleges, vocational tech centers, and career centers. So those are places where the cost might be less.
I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm glad you kind of pointed it out. The one thing that I would like to do, this is just a personal thing, and Wilma, this is my opinion, everybody. She's really kind of the expert, is if you do go through this process, I think it is helpful that you engage a couple people around you, because when you start, sometimes you get caught up in paying attention to how you believe things to be. And in coaching, a lot of times, we'll say, listen to the body. We try to get people to listen, because the body never lies, but your mind sometimes will rationalize stuff that's not congruent. And I don't know if I'm doing a very good job explaining this, but the point really is if you have it all in your mind and you go explain it and discuss it with somebody else who knows you, they might actually kind of like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, and I think you're on the right path, or wait a second, I'm confused here, which can be a little bit of a sign to kind of pause and think through that. So I guess a more succinct way of putting this is doing this with somebody where there's a sounding board so that you have some other outside influences so that you make sure you're paying attention to everything. So I don't know if I did a very good job articulating that, Wilma, but your thoughts?
Yes, I think you're right. And obviously the more support someone has for going through any process, the more likely it is that they'll complete it and the more likely it is that it will be helpful to them. I would love to see this process be a part of all schools, public schools, so that by the time someone graduates from high school, they've had more than an interest inventory given to them. Some school systems, to be fair, do a wonderful job at doing this. But the majority of them have had to cut costs, and this process is one of the first places, along with physical education and band and fine arts and all the other good stuff that helps us be well-rounded people. So it's often neglected. Sometimes in school, they will give only an interest inventory, and I like to tell people about the interest inventory that I took when I started my graduate program for my master's, and it suggested that I might want to consider being a shepherd. And I live in a metropolitan area. I didn't see a whole lot of, you know, needs for shepherds, but what they do, it's all about how the assessment is interpreted to you. And if they're just going to give you an assessment and you just take a bunch of job titles away with you, it's totally worthless, in my opinion, and can be counterproductive. But if it's done right, it should tell you that each piece of the puzzle is giving you clues, not answers. And so the clues lock together and become answers. The shepherd part, I used to be a high school English teacher. I love having a flock of people to lead, and I train now and give workshops. And so it does make sense that being a shepherd was, they were quite correct. So it isn't always a literal translation of some of this assessment information. It requires someone, a human being, to work with you, and as you said, support systems around you that say, you know what, this is beginning to gel. This sounds like it would really work for what I know about you. And then the person, there is nothing more rewarding than helping a person see that moment when the right thing to do with the rest of your life suddenly falls
yep.
into place.
Absolutely.
Magic.
Absolutely. Well, I'm not going to get too deep into this, but you said they're clues, not answers. And sometimes those things, people read those literally, and I find, because I like to pay attention to things differently, I like to look at the function of whatever those things are, because that's really more telling of it. And if you look at the function of a shepherd, you look at the function of how you can be a shepherd in today's environment, stuff like that, it can open up a lot of doors. And again, it might blow some people's minds away, but to me, that's kind of looking behind the literal stuff and seeing what's there. Just like sometimes you need to look behind the title and see what's the day in life of. And when people ask me that, I'm like, you know, what's that job look like? And they'll say some high level, I'll be this. And I say, no, you're going to wake up in the morning, where are you going to get your coffee, and where are you going to go sit? And what's your first meeting going to look like? And you start to get into that, you begin to understand what the function of the day looks like. So,
exactly.
Women, we need to kind of pull this thing together. Any final comments before we wrap it up?
Well, final comments. I think you started out with the premise that what we should stay away from is very important. I totally, 100% agree with you. And I think that we also need to know what works for us and what doesn't work for us so that we can stay away from the things that don't work for us and move towards the things that work for us. It's not rocket science, but it's amazing how many people don't do it that way.
And you know something, it's really funny because when you were just describing that, it kind of clicked to me a little bit. It said, in the day, you need to sit down and do this inventory, as you had described. And for some people, it's really easy to go look for and not get overwhelmed with that specificity of your inventory and go look. They're not overwhelmed by that. Others might be overwhelmed like that. And in the counter strategy, you're still going in the same direction, but you're almost going out there and saying, okay, this is me, what doesn't work, to eliminate all the gazillion options and boil it down to something that you're not overwhelmed with. Either way, you're going to get to the same place. But if you are feeling overwhelmed, like I don't know where to go, what to do, and what to look at, you might do the back door and say, I'm going to go take this assessment and try to find out what doesn't work. And then you might find yourself whittled down with a smaller list and not be so overwhelmed. So, again, I think you end up in the same place, but for some it's just a different way of getting there. So, Wilma,
exactly.
You know I love having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on and going through this. It's actually spectacular. And for our listeners out there, again, if you need to contact Wilma, it's wrzf@aol.com. And don't forget her her books, Finding a Career That Works for You, and The Other Me, Poetic Thoughts on ADD for Adults, Kids, and Parents. So, Wilma, thanks again.
Thanks, Dad.
Take care, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio.